Some apologies for this morning in that the heating wasn't on when we came this morning, and that's because there was a power cut yesterday. So what you should have really had this morning was, like me, a nice warm cup of coffee just to warm your hands and a nice warm top like this. But also I think throughout the service then we can create warmth by embracing each other in the songs and worship that we have this morning. So please, you know, do hug each other and give each other a nice warm welcome, okay? Now, please don't forget to sign up for the Bible reading this week. This will be in the lunch for you later. Sign up for that. If you don't sign up, you can still come anyway. So, you know, it's just so that we know who is coming and we can make arrangements for that. So, the Bible readings are going to take place on Monday, 2 till 3, on Tuesday, 10 till 12, and 7 till 9 in the evening. And on Wednesday, it'll be from 10:30 to 12 noon. So please try and sign up for one of those sessions. It'll be great to see you here and to engage in Bible reading as well as prayer as well. That'll be fantastic. The next thing is to do with Gardens of Hope. And it's an event not just for children, it's for adults as well. So please make sure that you come along to this. The Gardens of Hope will be this week on Wednesday. Am I right? Yeah, I think Wednesday. Please book online or via the office. If you're not very good at gardening, then the event would be a good one for you because you'd be creating a garden of hope. If you are good at gardening, then come and demonstrate your wonderful artistic skills. So please make sure that your friends and families, that they know about this and bring people along as well. That'd be absolutely fantastic. The slots to be booked are on Wednesday the 5th of April. There are four slots, 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock and 3:30. You can book via the website and the church office. Give Margaret a ring on the church office phone and I'm sure she'll book you in. Monday, Thursday service at 6 on the 6th of April at 7 p.m. If you are available to do reading, please let Liz Jenkins know. She would love to fill the list of readers before the night. So that would be wonderful. We're also looking for volunteers to help with the Good Friday event behind Cara Coffee. There is a sign-up sheet, which I've got here, and that, again, will be in the church lounge. There are not many names on there at the moment, so please put your name on that list today. Now, also, if you're not available for the whole morning, then there will be a communion service at some point in the morning at 12 noon. So please come. The communion will be in the garden behind Cara Coffee. So please come and join us. And before we hand over to the musicians, I'd just like to read something from Psalm 107 that's been on my heart this week. And it says this: O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. He satisfies the thirsty and the hungry. He fills with good things. So, this morning and beyond, let's demonstrate how thirsty and hungry we are as we praise and worship our Heavenly Father and meditate on the words that we sing.
Oops. Well, good morning. If you're able, please stand as we join in song worship together.
Now You this morning that our broken lives are made new. You receive us time and time again into your presence, and your love never fails. We thank you that we can freely praise and worship you this morning in spirit and in truth, and we give you our offering of praise and worship. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I do hope you've all had a good week. It's been a very wet week. Yes, there has been quite a lot of rain. And I suppose that you think that means it's been a bad week, because you don't like getting wet, do you? You don't like getting wet. But it's been a good week, because Harry and Samuel have led you under Ella. Do you mean an umbrella? This is under Ella, because you go under it to keep dry. Thank you for loaning her to Clive, Harry and Samuel. She's great. When the rain comes, you can stand underneath her and be protected until the rain has passed over. Well, it's not raining in here, so we'll put the umbrella down. Did you know that we're thinking of the story of the first Passover today? What is it? Does it have anything to do with rain? No, but Passover is very much about celebrating God's protection and blessing. The word Passover comes from the Hebrew word, which means passing over. But it also is very similar to a Hebrew word, which means to spread your wings over, like protecting and blessing. Just like under Ella. Yes, just like under Ella. And God certainly protected the Israelites from the angel of death. Do you remember? Pharaoh had refused to release the Israelites from slavery, but God was at work and he had a plan. He told his people to prepare a special meal and to get ready to leave Egypt in a hurry. What did they eat for their meal? Well, they had roasted lamb with herbs and bread without yeast. No cake. No cake. They shared the meal with their family and their neighbours, and they ate it standing up with their bags packed, ready to go. And they painted the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of their houses to keep them safe from the angel of death. Then when the angel came, he passed over all the houses where there was the blood. But the death visited the homes of all the Egyptians. So the Israelites were protected. Yes, indeed. And Pharaoh couldn't wait to get rid of them. So this under Ella can remind us that we are protected too. Absolutely. But there are other ways to remember, because the Passover meal is an ongoing reminder that when Jesus died, his blood brings us deliverance from slavery to sin and is a sign of protection to everyone who loves him. So the Passover points to Jesus. Yes. Because from the very beginning, God's plan was to rescue the whole world through his Son. And that is good news for all of us. It's even better news than the under Ella. Indeed it is. But it's time for us to go now. So we'll say goodbye. And we hope that you all have a good week and a happy Easter. So it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Clive, and we'll see you soon, and be blessed.
I was just looking, Harry and Samuel aren't here. I have their under Ella to be returned with thanks, but I will give it back to them when I see them again. The children are going to leave us in a moment to go to their class at the back. Well, let's just pray a blessing on them before they go. So, Father God, we thank you for each one of these children and for the families that they represent. We pray that you will bless them this morning, that they will draw closer to you in the things that they learn. Be with them, give them fun, give them enjoyment, and be with those who are leading them today, that together they might learn more of you and draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, children, if you want to go now, and today, because this is the first Sunday of the month, this is also our mission focus. Our mission focus for this month is Hands of Mercy, and we are delighted to welcome with us Joey and Sally from Hands of Mercy. They have work in the Philippines, and they're staying in this country for a while. They haven't come from the Philippines this morning. They've come from Luton, and they've come with Samantha, who works for the mission in Luton. So we're going to welcome you up this morning, and they're going to share something about the work that they do in the Philippines. Welcome.
Hello, good morning, everyone. I'm Joey Escoto, and this is my lovely wife, the director of Hands of Mercy. And I am proud to say that I'm the coordinator of one of the programs of Hands of Mercy, which is the home improvement program, which helps families and those homeless people in our community to rebuild their homes. You know, they, especially those people that living, the living conditions of their houses are very, you know. And they live on, you know, on secondhand corrugated, you know, from the scrap they pick, they collect in the community. And and I do supervise, and you know, from the help of people who are sponsoring to rebuild their houses, I do construction and all those supervision to help rebuild their homes. I'm so glad that, and I'm so happy that seeing you today. And it's a pleasure that to meet you and to speak in behalf of Hands of Mercy in the Philippines. Thank you very much.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the warm welcome, Diana. And thank you also for everybody who are here today. And we are very grateful that we have given the chance to come and speak in your church about Hands of Mercy. I'm sorry if you cannot understand my English well, especially with the accent. But I'm sure maybe the next person next to you can help you. So Robin told me that, are you warm enough? I said, like, not really. I guess I'm cold because I'm nervous. <You know? laughs> That's why I have that feeling. But looking around and going around, seeing you here make me feel comfortable, because you are friendly, and thank you for that. So yeah, my handsome husband in my eyes, like, he is a program coordinator of one of the program of Hands of Mercy, that is the home improvement program. I don't know if you know that in the Philippines, there are always fire after fire in the community that we are having the ministry, because the houses are just built in light materials, so they can just easily get burned. And we are grateful for those who have been supporting Hands of Mercy, and my husband has the gift to rebuild homes in the community. So as you see in the banner, the programs of Hands of Mercy, we have different programs. And the first program that Hands of Mercy opened is the Child Sponsorship Program. By the way, Hands of Mercy founded in 1997. So we are now on our 26 years of God's faithfulness. So the Child Sponsorship Program, we have a total number of 101 being enrolled in the program. 97 from Mandaluyong and 4 in Baguio. They have been given scholarship enabling them to pursue their academic studies within the government school system. Education in the Philippines is expensive, even in the primary, elementary, high school, and so as college. And people that cannot afford to send their children to school means their children has no education. And there are many in the community. So that is why Hands of Mercy is a blessing to these children, that they are able to go to school. And of course, some of them finish their college. So we now have a total of more than 100 students finish college over the years and now have a decent job helping their siblings and family. Some of them have been moved to an apartment from the squatter community. So that is amazing. I am happy to tell you that their living conditions have been improved. All of this has been made possible because of your kindness and generosity. So all these things have been made possible because of the people or the family that supported the education of a child. And we have here faithful supporters like Rob and Dot Blee. They have been supporting a child. They are very faithful. And I believe that they are really a blessing to the child that they supported and also to the family. One more year and he's done. Of course, if they cannot study, then the poverty is in just, you know, a cycle to the family, because they cannot go anywhere else or can have, you know, find a job that is more decent and earn a good income. So thank you for that. And the other one is the feeding program, as you see in the banner. So that's the feeding program that we had in the community. Over 38,400 meals were served to the needy children in 8 squatter communities of Mandaluyong City. Hands of Mercy served meals 4 days in a week. We would thank also to your support for your generous donation to enable us to do the work and to help children, hungry children in the Philippines. Many empty stomach children were filled up in going to school in which parents could hardly provide. As you know, or maybe some of you do not know, we don't have food banks in the Philippines. So meaning when children are hungry, they are hungry. They cannot, you know, they don't have food. Their parents cannot get their food anywhere. So during pandemic, it's been a challenge for us to continue giving the food to the children in the community. But because we have seen great need in the children, so it must be very scary for us to go around the community, but we did it because the Lord's protection, we believe that the Lord's protection is always with us. And praise God, because of your prayers, we were able to, we managed to do this, and none of us got the COVID. So thank you for the Lord. Thank you for your prayers. It is difficult also to get sick in the Philippines because we don't have the national health card. So that is one of the program of Hands of Mercy is the prescription medicine program. And it really helps people who are sick. We do have some government hospitals that are free, but only for checkup. Medicines are not. You have to purchase. And also the laboratory test, because the doctor will do the laboratory test first before he can prescribe a medicine. And if people don't have the money to do that, then they will just end up dying. And that is very, very sad. And we are so grateful that Hands of Mercy can help these people who are sick and cannot afford to buy medicine. Laboratory tests are expensive also. So without the help of Hands of Mercy, some of these people cannot do what the doctor has been prescribed to them. And we are just, they are so grateful that help has been given to them. And also, we have the family support program. At present, we have 49 families being sponsored. These families are so blessed with the rice and groceries they received every 15th and 30th of this month. So we also have a sponsor here who supported a family. That is Barbara. Thank you for that. So these families live in most extreme conditions, struggling each day to make ends meet. There are times wherein their children go to school with an empty stomach. We continue to pray that the health and well-being of these families will improve through the help they are receiving. So we would like to thank the sponsor who sponsored a family. There was one time that one of the volunteers of Hands of Mercy were supposed to buy food for her family. And we have this Bible study in the community once a week when we do our feeding program. One of the member of the Bible study are also walking the street, like praying for someone that can help her and her children that day. His husband is a tricycle driver, but that day the tricycle was broken, and so he cannot earn money for that day. So that lady walking on the street, don't know where to go, just praying, trusting the Lord that she will meet someone who can help her. And fortunately, she saw one of the volunteer of Hands of Mercy, and she said, like, I've been praying for someone that can help me today because I don't have food to offer to my children. They don't have breakfast yet, and now it's lunchtime, and we still don't have food, and my children are crying. So I was hoping that I can meet someone that can help me, and I'm really praying for it. And then she said, like, if you can lend me 200 pesos that I can buy food for my children, that would be a great help. And one of the team said, like, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't have 200, but I have 100 in my pocket. I will give this to you so that you can buy food for your children. And so the lady was so grateful. She was crying and, you know, just give thanks to one of the team. And so the team go back to her place. without the food that she's supposed to buy. But she's thinking like if her husband will come home, maybe her husband will bring the food because her husband is at work. So this is really the challenge that we face in helping with these poor families in the community, because what their needs are also our needs, and it is sacrificial at times. Like you have to give it to them, your need, but you will sacrificially give it to them to share so that, yeah, they can survive. And it's not easy. But as the Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 40, whatever you did to the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So we always have that encouragement in our heart. That even though, yeah, we do have sometimes needs, but we sacrificially share it to these people. And it's not easy. Yes, it's not easy. Because there is no help from the government. We don't receive help from the government that much. Even during pandemic, when everybody is hungry. And I would just like to thank many of you here who are giving donations to Hands of Mercy to buy rice, to buy food for our family there. Thank you so, so much to all of you. I know you are so blessed here. The first time we came over, visited churches, visited friends, visited, you know, homes, like, wow. I was saying to myself, wow, isn't it God is unfair? It's like, what? They have so much here, and we do not anything there back. But I'm sure, no, God is not unfair. No, it's just that maybe we are on the other side of the world, you know. And we are thankful. Joey and I are so thankful that we have given the chance to help our poor brothers and sisters in the Philippines. Though we suffered the same thing as they did, but with the grace of God, it's an opportunity to help them through also your help to us. We cannot do this. We wouldn't be able to do this by, you know, without you. So this is a partnership in the work of the Lord. And I believe that God is so happy for, you know, what we are doing. And yeah, we also have like the home improvement program, which my husband is doing, but we have stopped it during pandemic because the government are not allowing us to do that. But we are looking forward this year as they have been given as the go signal to help our poor family also rebuilding their homes, doing some renovations. Well, actually, our first week of our stay here, I received a message from the team that another block has been burned. So I said, like, oh no, is there, you know, members of Hands of Mercy living there? So there are a few, and three children died because of the fire. Yeah, so again, we want to ask your continued prayer for the work of Hands of Mercy. So we also have the disabled therapy program. We continue partnering with the city government and therapy education and assimilation of children with handicap, or we called it Project Teach. We have a memorandum of agreement for children with special needs with the mayor of Mandaluyong City, offering literacy training and physical therapy. Though the pandemic strikes in 3 years, Hands of Mercy volunteers did not stop in giving free therapy. They teach the mothers of these children on what to do to keep up the needed therapy their child needs through online. So there's no stopping. We've been able to extend the ministry to embrace the needs of special children in Mandaluyong City through the building provided by the city government. And that is the building that is provided by the city government. We also have a home care-based therapy for our growing patients. This is offered to special children in which parents cannot be able to bring their child to the center for some reasons. Though this was stopped during pandemic, but praise God because we are now allowed to do it again and have started early in January. So our volunteers will go to their home to give the free therapy for the children, especially those that have cerebral palsy. So they go around the community and give therapy to the children. And their parents are very grateful because they cannot afford to pay a therapist. It is also very expensive. And we just found out that after we have this program, there are many special children in the community which their parents have just, you know, hide because maybe they are in denial about the situation of the child. And of course, because they cannot find therapy and don't know how to look after their special child, so that is why they tend to hide them. But when Hands of Mercy offered this free therapy, their parents are able to bring the children to the center and are able to now accept the situation of the child. And some of them are now studying in a normal school. And that is very great help for the parents and also for the child. So Hands of Mercy received numerous awards from the city government for our commitment and dedication to the work amongst the special children of Mandaluyong City. So we've been given numerous awards for this one, for, you know, doing it, giving our best, and trying to really give what we can give by the grace of God. So as the Bible says in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So as the team in Hands of Mercy in the Philippines, in the natural, yes, we become tired sometimes, but we always draw our strength from the Lord. And whatever it is now, Hands of Mercy, whatever it is now and will become in the future, we always give glory to God. And from the bottom of our heart, on behalf of the team in the Philippines, we would like to thank you for your faithful support to Hands of Mercy. Thank you very much, and God bless you all.
Sally, Joey, and Samantha, for your time with us today. You brought it home again to me how so different your life and ours is. And we thank you that we're able in a small way to encourage and support you over time. Now for a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for being with us today, with your constant love and care and guidance throughout our lives. We're pleased to have Sally and Joey and Sam with us, and pray your blessing on all they do in your name. We think particularly of the work of the Hands of Mercy Mission Compassion Ministry in the slum areas of Mandaluyong, Manila, and in the city of Baguio, as they seek to support, encourage, assist with so many needs of the squatter communities. These folk have no real voice of their own, and they often lack the basic needs of life which we take for granted. Care, proper shelter, food, affordable health, affordable education. We pray, Lord, that you continue to support and bless the teams of volunteer Filipino folk from the Mercy Community Churches as they seek to come alongside their neighbours, both through their churches and their day-to-day contacts. We've been praying that you, earlier, that you bless our youngsters as they went out to their classes this morning. We would pray also for the youngsters in Mandaluyong in a world so very different to our own. We know, Lord, that an education is the key to many of the situations because it enables them to get a job or a better job so they can provide for themselves and their families. So often they are unable to get on the bottom rung of the ladder, becoming self-supporting and self-sufficient. We pray, Lord, that you raise up a generation of youngsters and give them the means, Lord, of meeting their own needs and able to break out of the circle and cycle of deprivation. We pray, Lord, that you continue to bless the Ixus water purification business, producing clean, safe water for them to drink. Lord, may the business expand and flourish and provide some employment for some of the needy people. We pray, Lord, that you continue to raise up others to start other schemes to benefit their communities so they may be lifted above the poverty line and be able to be less dependent on outside support. We pray too, Lord, for Samantha here, the trustees in this country, and Sally and Joey and the other trustees in Mandaluyong, as they seek to use resources wisely that the work may prosper. Encourage them, Lord, in all they do. Give them all a compassionate heart and a listening ear, open to the promptings of your Holy Spirit. We bring these prayers to you, Lord, in the name of our Lord and Saviour, and ask your blessing on all that is said and done in your great name. Amen.
Please stand if you're able, and we'll sing together again.
The overshadowing, underneath your wings, overshadowing. You are my shield and my glory. You are the lifter of my head, and though the storms may rage around me, I'll be safe within, beneath the holy overshadowing, underneath your wings, overshadowing.
Please be seated.
Thank you, Jane. So we come to our readings for today. We've got two readings today. One is in Exodus 12 and the other is in 1 Peter. So we're going to start in Exodus 12. I'm going to read verses 1 to 14 and then verses 28 to 36. The Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbour, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. And do not leave any of it until morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. And this is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And on that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. This is verse 28. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. And during the night Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go. and also bless me. The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for, and so they plundered the Egyptians. Our second reading is in 1 Peter 1, verses 13 to 21. Be holy. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." And since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God.
Thanks, Diana. It's great to be with you here this morning. Thank you, Diana, for our reading, which we're going to look at. Let me check. Now? Perfect. Thank you for the reading, Diana. And I've really been moved, encouraged, but also unsettled to some extent through what Sally and Joey have shared this morning. And it's a honour to be with you. And we do thank you so much for your work. Yes, your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that through our being together today, through what we've heard and sung, through your Spirit working in us and through us, through the power of your word, Father God, we pray that we might go from our gathering this morning able to see you more clearly and love you more dearly and follow you more nearly, we pray. Amen. Amen. It's good to be with you on Palm Sunday. And thank you to Sarah and the musicians for choosing our songs for today with a sort of bit of a Palm Sunday theme, but also a theme that picks up Passover. Palm Sunday, it's the beginning of Holy Week in the Christian calendar, as we know, marks the event when Jesus entered into Jerusalem on the colt at the beginning of Passover. I've got a question. Here we go. First question. Does anybody know what the leaf-like part of a palm is called? Does anybody know the leaf-type part of the palm? Do you know what it's called? Who said that? Give yourself a round of applause. Get everybody, give that person a round of applause. It's called a frond. So here's the next question. Okay. Actually, it's a question, but it's also a joke. And the idea is that you get the punchline. Okay. Good. Okay. But remember what's already been said. So what did the pastor say to the church member who wanted to organise a flower arrangement using anemones on Palm Sunday? when the church was already decorated with palm branches. So what did the pastor say to the person, the church member, who wanted to decorate the church, organise a flower arrangement of anemones, when the church was already decorated with palms for Palm Sunday? Do you know what the answer is? It's close. With fronds like these, who needs anemones? It's the best. It's not mine. It's not original. Don't clap me. Alongside this Holy Week, this coming Wednesday is the first day of Passover, of the Passover festival that the Jewish people celebrate. And even though Passover for Jewish people and Easter don't often align in our calendars, they don't often line up in our calendars, Passover and Easter do align and connect in the overarching story told within the Bible. And we've picked that up this morning, and we're going to continue to think about from Passover to Easter. That's my alternative title for this morning's sermon. The written accounts of Jesus' life, known as the Gospels, record that the events that took place in the last week of Jesus' life all took place in connection with Passover. He came to Jerusalem that week in response to the command in the Torah to appear at the temple in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And before his crucifixion, Jesus, didn't he? He shared a Passover meal with his closest friends, what we as Christians refer to as the Last Supper. As we reflect on the Bible passages read to us this morning, we'll consider three things that Passover meant for the Israelites, and these are the three things: a new beginning, a new freedom, and a new forgiveness. And we'll also take a little time to follow the trajectory of the story of Exodus, making connections between the first Passover and Easter, seeing in what ways Passover points us to the rescue that Jesus brings. So that's what we're aiming to do in our time this morning. So the Passover, a new beginning. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month, the first month of your year." That's how that chapter in Exodus 12 begins. It's the first time, it's interesting, it's the first time in Exodus that God has talked to his people about certain months and holy days. He's setting aside a certain month to be the new year for them. It's a new beginning. And this is significant. God's people, Israel, had been a slave people for over 400 years. And I imagine, and perhaps you'll imagine with me, that their perception of time and the passing of time would have been quite different to ours. Perhaps they had some sense of the seasons coming. Although in Egypt, I imagine you just sort of have hot and hotter in Egypt. Has anybody been to Egypt? Is it hot and hotter in Egypt? Okay, so maybe they don't have that sense of the seasons passing in the way we do. They would, I'm sure, have had a sense of generations passing. But if you're a slave people, you don't have Monday to Friday for work, and then a different focus and some rest time at the weekend. You don't have a break and a holiday. They're a slave people. And the weeks, even if they remembered them, probably just merged into the months and into the years. And now God is changing all that. God is starting something new. He's marking out a time for his people. He says, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. So this is the first thing. It's a new beginning. The Passover was to mark the end of life as they knew it in Egypt and the beginning of a new year and being a new people. It's interesting, Israel then today, don't take that literally. The new year begins in September for Jewish people. But in terms of faith and identity and self-understanding, the year begins in spring because Passover marks a new beginning. A nation moving from service to Pharaoh to service to God. Next point to pick up. The Lord says to Moses, tell the whole community of Israel. The whole community of Israel. And it's interesting, the Hebrew word used there for the whole community is sometimes translated as congregation or assembly. And that word occurs more than 100 times through the books from Exodus through to Joshua. It's a common word, but this is the first time that word occurs in Exodus. Before this, the people have been called Hebrews, they've been called sons of Israel, but they've not yet been called a congregation, a whole community. God is shaping his people with a new identity, a new nation, a new people for a new time. Thinking a little bit about the enacting of the Passover meal, in a significant way, it expresses this unity that we're thinking about. Particularly in verse 4 of chapter 12, we read, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbour, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The idea, you see, and I'm sure you've probably got this, is not to have one family being provided with three lambs and another family with a quarter of a lamb. Everyone who's feasting this Passover is to have a single lamb. Again, to signify their unity as one community, as one people. It's not a quarter here and a bit there and you divvy up the leftovers. No, you apportion it. You figure out the number of people in your family or your extended family, and it's one lamb for you and your household because you're one people. This is a new nation with a new identity, a new name, and a new beginning. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever wanted to have a new beginning? Have you ever wanted to have a new beginning? Have you ever wanted to leave the past behind? I remember a time, I can only have been about 5 or 6, and I was, at the time, as a family, we were living in the northeast of England, just outside Durham, and I was a youngster, and I remember coming in from the garden into our kitchen, so through the back door, and a neighbour was there visiting my mum, and had brought her a plant. And it was a green, shiny rubber plant. Are you familiar with rubber plants? The leaves are very shiny, and they almost look like they're not real, don't they? They're that shiny and bright. And I asked whether where the plant had come from, and it was Helen and Annie who had brought it for my mum, and I asked whether it was real, and they assured me that it was a real plant, and so I was curious, and I listened a little longer to the conversation, and then our neighbour Helen had to leave, so my mum walked with her to the door. And I was fascinated by this rubber plant, green, shiny, bright, almost looked like it was plastic. It just didn't look real. And I couldn't resist it. I just couldn't resist it. I felt it first, and then I took one of the leaves, the shiny, green, plasticky leaves, and it just didn't feel real. And if you felt the leaf of a rubber plant, it just doesn't look particularly real. So I took the plant and I opened my mouth, and I firstly it was gentle, but it didn't really make a difference. So then I had to just bite that little bit harder, at which point the sap from the I can remember this so vividly. I can so 7 or 8 years old, and so I at that point I knew for real it was real, and there was an indelible, you know, the mark was there, and it was left, and it was permanent, and clearly I had some explaining to do. And at that point, I wished I could have a new beginning. I wish I could have left that past behind. I wonder, you know, we've sort of nodded, as I said, have you ever felt like you'd like a new beginning or to leave something of the past behind? Perhaps you've thought to yourself, or you've hoped that perhaps at some point in your life you thought, I don't want my life, or perhaps you know somebody who you spend time with and something's happened in their life that perhaps defines them, something that happened when they were 15 or 25 or 55, and that event, that thing that took place seems to define them. And this is part of our Christian hope, is that we can know new beginnings and our pasts don't have to define us. Our mistakes, our unbelief, our temptations, our bad choices, these do not need to define our future. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean you can erase your past, but it does mean you have an entirely new future. It means that what you did when you were 15 or 25 or 55 isn't who you are and who you have to be for the rest of your life. God in Christ offers us new beginnings. I talked about the word congregation. Do you know what the word congregation or assembly is in the New Testament? Some of you will have heard this word. Do you know what it is? It's a Greek word. Ecclesia. That's right. Which we translate as church. The Greek means the called out ones. It's the same idea, you see. If you belong to church, this now becomes your community, your new community, your new beginning, your congregation, your assembly. People come, don't they, to our churches and to this church from all sorts of different places and experience and backgrounds. But it's a joy that they don't define us. Those different backgrounds and circumstances and experiences in this church I love and in other churches I love, that doesn't define who we are. What defines us is the oneness that we know in this diversity. In the same way that Israel had a new beginning which defined them as God called them out from Egypt into the promised land, so God has called us out. As Paul says in Colossians, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. From darkness to light, we've been brought out. That's us, that's now. And that, as we as church together, and I include myself, as we as church are thinking forward and we're praying about the way forward, let's pray that that would define us, our identity in Christ. Not who may come to lead or to take forward, but our identity in Christ. Second thing the Passover signifies, and I'll be more quick with the second and the third point. It's a new freedom. As we thought about already in our service this morning, as Clive helped us with Diana, this account of the Passover that the Lord gives to Moses, he instructs the people that that same night they are to prepare the lamb to eat, the meat roasted over fire along with bitter herbs and flat bread made without yeast. Here they are, they're preparing to leave Egypt. I'm sure we get the imagery, don't we? They're to make their meal and eat it quickly. So they don't have time to put yeast in the bread, leavened bread, to put yeast in and let it rise. Well, that takes time, doesn't it? So they're eating flat bread. And then also in verse 11, if you've got your Bibles and you want to look, but let me read. In verse 11, they are to eat with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You might say that this is a biblical precedent for fast food. They're to be ready. They're to be good to go. I wonder sometimes as we, and we'll in a minute we'll look and think about, when we remember, when we share communion, the Lord's Supper, I wonder whether we think about that meal and think about what are we readying ourselves for? What are we preparing for? Are we good to go? It's important to think about what faith must have been present on this first Passover. To believe that what Moses was saying would actually happen. Remember, this had been their home for 400 years as God's people. This was all that they and their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents and their great-great-great-grandparents, this was all they knew and talked about. They were Hebrews in Egypt. They were slaves of Pharaoh. And as miserable as it was to be a slave, it was all that they knew. It was their home. It's who they were. It was where they had been. And we know, don't we, from later in the Exodus story, when the Israelites have escaped Egypt, they often grumbled, didn't they, about their newfound freedom. You know, the story of, well, we didn't like it much when we were there, but at least it was familiar to us. We'll take Egypt. We've got taskmasters, but we'll take it. Remember, as the story continues, that's how they think and feel. And it's true of human nature, isn't it? It is true of human nature. Another point to pause and to think. I think sometimes, I know myself, and I know there are times when I would rather stick with what's familiar, rather trust what I know, than the promises of a future that I can't yet see. And some of us, I don't know why, there are times when I'm like that, even in my relationship with God. We return to our old ways. Because even though we know, and actually we probably dislike those old ways, and we know that they're life-limiting, we're used to them, we see it, we understand it, we settle for captivity. And we do this not just in our actions, but also in our thoughts. I was thinking about what Sally said about encouraging us and exhorting us not to grow weary and lose heart. And that's so, it's such a very real pressure for us, isn't it? To grow weary and to lose heart, to settle for captivity. And that's why we need to encourage one another to keep on. For this moment, this first Passover, they trusted. Let's move on. I want to think about the last aspect of the new that God's people experience, a new forgiveness. There's a verse that you may have heard but forgotten about from Joshua chapter 24. Years later, when God's people would renew the covenant at Shechem. Joshua said this to God's people, to the people of Israel, to the whole community of God's people. Joshua said this, "Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." That's really interesting. Joshua saying to the whole community, to God's people, put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt. So there was some sense in which God's people were complicit in what took place in Egypt. And that's why Joshua says, looking back, get rid of these gods. Perhaps they were still struggling with these false gods, the ones that had been worshipped in Egypt, the ones they had worshipped in Egypt. Remember, 400 years, it's almost difficult to believe that they wouldn't be affected by what's happening around them. Don't you think that if you lived in Egypt for 400 years, you'd start adopting some of the culture of the gods of the Egyptians? God's people needed to be forgiven. They needed to be saved. You see, and this, we again, Diane and Clive helped us think about this. The blood from the lamb that marked the doors and the mantelpieces and the signposts, that wasn't so much for God. The blood was a sign for the people. That's what we read in verse 13. The blood shall be a sign for you. It was a sign of assurance. It was a visceral reminder. It was a sign and a seal testifying to them this, that life will come through death. We will live tonight because something has died in our place. We will be safe because of blood. It was a sign to them. Do you see how this, the first Passover, and so much more, is what we're coming to celebrate this week as we come into Holy Week and look forward to Easter weekend? Easter means a new beginning, a freedom from, a new freedom, and a new forgiveness. Soon the Holy Spirit would come on Jesus' disciples and they would be new people. And it meant a new beginning, not just for God's people, Jesus' disciples, but for the whole world, whether they realised it or not. Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away, the new has come." And so we finish by coming to this passage that Diana read to us from 1 Peter. And what I want to do is simply to read this passage fairly slowly, because this is the application from Passover to Easter. The significance of all that Jesus has done for us. As John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This is the significance. This is the application. This is what we can take away with us into this week. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action." Be ready to go. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ appears. Are we doing that together? Setting our hope fully, not partially, fully on the hope, the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, when you lived in Egypt. the way you lived before you came to know something of the grace of Christ. Don't go back to those ways. Those thoughts and those actions, those patterns, don't go back. As obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires that you once had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Since you call on a father, and this is, we haven't had time to deal with some of the difficulties of that Exodus passage at the first Passover, the violence, the brutality. We could talk about that. We could look at that together in our groups. We could think forward. But know this, we call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, and therefore live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know, and this is it, this is the take home, this is the good news. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen, get this, he was chosen before the creation of the world. That's God's big picture. That's God's purpose and plan. Jesus was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. So your faith and your hope are in God. Come on. Come on. Let's pray together. We thank you, Father God, that for those of us who know Jesus, who are on the way, who are trusting him, working out our faith, that for us, you have transferred us from darkness and brought us into light, into the kingdom of your Son, whom you love, in whom we have redemption, rescue, freedom, the forgiveness of our sins. Help us to take that word, that reality, that hope to heart, such that as we prayed at the beginning of this message, so we pray now, that we would go out seeing you more clearly, loving you more dearly, following you, Lord God, more nearly. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Thank you, Sarah. We're going to sing together two more songs that are an opportunity for us to respond, to reflect, to respond, to rejoice and give thanks to God.
Please stand if you're able.
Of God, Holy One, Jesus Christ, Son of God, lift him up willingly to die, that I the guilty one may know the blood was shed, still freely flowing. My redeemer. the guilty one may know the blood was shed, still freely flowing, still cleansing, still healing. I exalt you, Jesus, my sacrifice. I exalt you, my Redeemer and my Lord.
We praise your name.
I exalt.
To the end of our time together this morning, and we go out into the week towards Easter. May the Father's hand keep you from stumbling, and the footprints of Jesus give you confidence to follow, and the fire of the Spirit keep you warm and safe in your walk with God this day and throughout the week. Amen. do please stay and join us and have coffee and have a chat with Sally and Joey and Sam, who will be pleased to answer any questions that you might have about Hands of Mercy.